This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Efforting to get Jonas Schaefer on, he just said to call him back, so he should be good to go. Maybe some in a bad cell, you know, cell phones, Jason. Sometimes
I know cell phones.
Like it giveth and taketh away. It's amazing. Here we are in the year 2025, and there's still like bad cell areas, and you try to make a call, and sometimes it doesn't go through. Alas, that's where we are. But Jonas will be joining us momentarily.
Yeah, I mean, this will be our last chance to talk to Jonas ahead of the draft. You know, he always has a really keen sense and insight on what this team might be up to.
So let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where our friend IA Hall of Famer Jonas Schaefer, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, joins us now. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. So we'll start here, and this is a frivolous exercise, but I have to ask anyway. As we sit here on Monday, if you had to guess, I'll do this, the position they draft, saying they stay at 27, what position do you think that will be?
I think edge rusher. I think the need is there. I think the value is there. I think the depth is there. You know, you can, if you're kind of playing it out, like, would you rather have like a day one safety and a round two edge rusher, or a, day one edge rusher and a round two safety? To me, I would much rather take the edge rusher first. No guarantee of anything, but I just think that based on how this draft could fall, based on the possibility of quarterback needy teams kind of jumping the line and pushing back some really good players to the Ravens, I think they should be well positioned to get someone they like. And listen, like if you're throwing someone like Walter Nolan or Derek Harmon into that category of edge rusher, mm-hmm. just because of what they can add demonstrably to the pass rush, I think that should also be taken into consideration. That's why I'm a little less enthused about them taking someone like Kenneth Grant, who obviously is a physical freak, but hasn't really shown a whole lot pass rush wise, and would just be another kind of guy that you're using on early downs. I just think that this is the draft to kind of strike while that edge rusher iron is hot, and go and get a guy who you can kind of slowly bring along next year, and hopefully by 2026 he's maybe ready to be the alpha of that group.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. You're not taking the Brody Washington replacement in the first round. Yeah. If they took an O lineman, how would you feel about that? Like me personally, I don't know that I would be all that jazzed about it, and I would guess that they were probably trying to trade down like heck, because I think the caliber of what stands to be there might not move the needle a whole lot for me. But what do you think about that prospect?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like, I think if Josh Simmons were there and you felt comfortable with him slotting inside as a guard, mm-hmm. and you felt comfortable with his character, which I guess is, and as well as that patellar tendon, which it seems like, I think Jonathan Jones reported today, seems to feel pretty good about where that knee is, then I would say, like, brush that card in. I'm a little less enthused about the idea of Tyler Booker. I know that he is this great, really, really impressive pass blocker. You know, when he latches onto someone, it's over. I'm just still of the idea that, like, how many games last year, I know the Eagles game still stands out in people's memory, but how many games last year where it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and long, and the interior rush just isn't even caring at all to rush Lamar because they are trying to get after him with this cage rush. Like, I think that because of Lamar, you can kind of sort of get away with not having the utmost investment in that position. Where I would say that I would want to roll the dice is if, you know, someone is a legit run blocker who can do a lot of things athletically. And that's also my concern with Tyler Booker. Like, yes, he can be a fit in gap schemes, but I wouldn't want him getting out on the hoof and, you know, being your outside zone, your stretch run guy. I just don't think that him and Fa'alele, I think you're kind of handicapping yourself. Yeah. Like, it's probably the two best runs that you want Derrick Henry doing. So it would be totally fine, totally defensible if Tyler Booker were there. I just want guys who, at that first round, are super athletic and can do whatever you need to, whatever scheme, have a good head, you know, a good head on their shoulders. And I think that there are certainly guys who could be viable. Like, if Kelvin Banks is there, by all means, could go rush that card in. I just not in love with the idea of a guy who can only do like 80% of the offensive playbook when there are potentially more valuable prospects at other more premium positions available.
Talking with Jonas Schaefer, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jonas, today was the first day of off-season workout, media availability. Anything Kyle Hamilton, Tyler Linderbaum, Roquan Smith said stand out to you?
Would you guys believe me if I told you that no one is saying much about contract extensions?
Sounds about par for the course.
Yeah. It's just might as well be operated by ChatGPT at this time. I mean, these guys don't say much. They let their agents handle it. They're not going to rock the boat. You know, I guess it was interesting that both of them would like to have some clarity on their situations before the season gets started. But again, like, that doesn't mean that takes a midseason deal off the table. Right. We've seen Ronnie Stanley get a midseason deal done. We saw Marlon Humphrey get midseason deals done. It's just a matter of, you know, which way the wind is blowing and how Eric DaCosta is feeling. And I mean, I guess left unsaid in all this is the idea that Lamar Jackson and his contract restructure, his contract extension, is kind of the first levy in this whole dam. Like, you know, before you can really get going, you got to get that situation settled. So I don't know how wise those guys are to how all this is operating with the cap dynamics, but obviously I think until they get the Lamar situation settled or until they have an idea of which way they are going with that, it's pretty tough for me to forecast just exactly when, you know, those next deals are going to happen.
Did you see the Cam Jurgens contract? And I mean, I've been saying this for a while. I mean, I don't know. People might think I'm crazy, but do they need to pay a center that much money?
It's really interesting. I think to me, this is going to be like a very interesting season for Todd Monken and like his relationship, for lack of a better term, with Tyler Linderbaum, because I think you like where Tyler has developed as a pass protector. I know, you know, he kind of got his lunch eaten against Philly, but mm-hmm. we saw that is a very, very tough bar to hold yourself to. But I think when you think about like Philly, speaking of, and Jason Kelce and all these teams that know that they have like a certain kind of run blocker and what they do to weaponize that particular ability. Like, if Todd Monken really thinks that Tyler Linderbaum can be like a 1% run blocker, then I think you should be putting him in cases where he is the guy on the move, like, you know, more pin and pull stuff, more mm-hmm. outside zone stuff where you can really weaponize that exceptional mobility that he has. And I think until they do that, he's just going to be, you know, a good, not great run blocker because of the kind of menu that he's being served. So I think with this year, with this being year three, with this, you know, having some continuity in the run game, I'm going to be really interested to see like just how much they put on Tyler Linderbaum's plate. Cause I think you could argue that, you know, he's been a pleasant surprise in his pass protection, mm-hmm. but his run blocking, just in terms of the stuff that he is doing downfield and he is, you know, just whipping people up on, there haven't been as many splash plays as maybe his tape at Iowa suggested. And I don't think that's as much on him as it is just on the overall infrastructure of his offense and what's been asked of him.
Jonas, do you see this being an active few days for Eric DaCosta? Maybe a trade up, a trade down, maybe a player trade over those 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, everything's on the table. I do kind of like the idea of them trading out of 27, just a couple spots down. My mock draft today had them trading with Philly again to get to the end of that first round because of the number of quality options that were still on the board. And listen, like, I think Eric mentioned a couple times about how he really likes finding certain guys in the third, fourth, or fifth round, and they have a bunch of sixth-round guys right now that I think that if they had their druthers, they probably would like to package and move up so that they aren't spending so much time in the sixth round hoping that certain, you know, back end of the roster filler comes to them. So even if you are losing some draft capital in moving out of 27, I think if you can get a third rounder or a high fourth rounder, then that gives you a little bit more flexibility to really strike where the draft is deepest. And I think that's probably in that round 3 to round 5 range.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, thank you as always.
Thanks,
for your
buddy.
Time. And look forward to this weekend.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Coming up next, we want to hear from the people because we'll get back to the Orioles. 410-583-1057. We've been talking about the Orioles and just how bad is it. Or are you an optimist? We got a call last segment. Somebody thinks, well, they get
only
some
three
guys
starters
back.
Away.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Three starters and they can tread water and then get in the playoffs and then it's go time. 410-583-1057. How bad are the Orioles right now to you? We want to hear from the people next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here on the Fan. One ear from the people, 410-583-1057. How are you feeling about your Baltimore Orioles coming off that 24-2 loss to the Cincinnati Reds yesterday? They've only won one series. They've only won two in a row one time this year, and they have the worst starting rotation in all of baseball. Let's head out to the phone lines at 410-583-1057. Start with Andre and Glen Burnie. Andre, you're on the Fan.
Hey there, Ken, Jason. Hi, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
I've been an Orioles fan since I can remember. I'm 61. You're going to turn 62 this year. And I've been through the good times and the bad times. But the thing about it is I'm not in a panic mode yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not in total disagreement with you on some of the moves. But, Jason, I must say, I was so excited when you came to get on this program. But I never thought I would say this. I never thought someone could be more negative than Ken, but you made me more endeared to Ken than I ever was. But
that's the plan.
I just hold people to their standard. If you come here right and you go out of your way to play the worst baseball humanly possible to get all these 1-1s and 1-2s and 1-5s, and then you tell me it's liftoff. Right, and you say you understand the assignment, then I mean negative, positive. I just keep it real. Nobody was more bullish on them the first 3 years they were here, and nobody saw right through them and how transparently egomaniacal they were, and how it really wasn't about giving us a parade. It's about doing it their way, and doing it their way trumps all. I don't want to be right about this, but I think we're now looking at years, multiple seasons where they're wasting Gunnar Henderson.
And I don't disagree with you on that. I really don't. I mean, some of the moves, like what y'all said about Cedric Mullins, I could never understand why he was batting so low and why he wasn't leading off and some of the other moves, you know, some of the moves not signing certain people. But I appreciate Beltway Ben, you know, because I'm in the camp with him when it came to Tommy fan. I was a Tommy fan. And I'm glad he stuck to his guns.
Yes.
Because I know if that was Tim would have just broken and just listened.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Andre, you called that correctly. Appreciate the call.
Wreck that call.
Yes, because
you understand this show.
Yes,
you have a fine ear.
Yes.
And I can put up being called negative. Yeah. All I do is try to speak my truth.
Yeah. Let's go to Ethan in Hampstead. Ethan, you're on the fam.
Afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hey there.
I think there should be a case study on how to blow the immense amount of goodwill the team built over a 2-year span.
Mm.
I'd like to believe that Rubenstein is having buyer's remorse, that maybe this thing wasn't as much of a surefire thing as he thought it was, but he's too busy throwing free hats and having bobbleheads of himself to realize what is going on. And just a question for you guys, who's let go first or scapegoated first? Charlie Morton, birthday boy, CNL Perez, way to read the room, Orioles Twitter, or Brandon Hyde? And if Hyde is let go, is it more than likely Buck Britton that probably stepped up?
Yeah, it's a good question. Thanks for the call. Yeah. I think I would have gotten rid of Perez before I got rid of the Blewett guy, but that's just me.
Me too. But they're giving Perez some real money, and they obviously, he's one of their guys.
Yes.
He goes back to Houston with Mike Elias. So.
He hadn't been good in 2 years.
No. Look, who goes first? Charlie Morton could not start another game for me if I actually cared about winning. I would be willing to buy him out. I'd be willing to do whatever I have to do to find somebody else who could give me 6 outs without it being complete and utter trauma for my baseball team.
Let's go to Rashawn. Rashawn, you're on the fam.
Hey, good afternoon, fella.
Hey there.
You staying out of trouble, man. Rashawn?
I'm trying my best to you, man. About to get in some trouble Friday down in that game, man. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, 30,000 people, man. They let us down like that, you know. But luckily, I didn't go to that game yesterday, you know. But, hey, speaking of negativity, right? So, I gave Trippy a new name, right? Because Trippy's been so, you know, down on the old. They're not making the playoffs. They're not that. I said, Trippy, your new name is Trippy Lockenfour, man. You know, so that's my nickname.
I've been lumped in with worse people before.
Hey, we like Trippy.
There was one person in this room who told you they were going to compete for the playoffs before anybody said they were. It was me. Yeah. Then there was one person in this room who picked them to go in the playoffs before anybody else did. That was me. Yeah. Now, I was also the first one to tell you the GM is fugazi as hell. He doesn't get the assignment, and we're never winning anything real with him here. And that was also me too.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the faith, man, you know. But like the one caller said, he said what, be like 3 pitchers away, right?
Yeah, well, that's easy to find.
That's
in season.
I mean, that's nothing at all.
Yeah, get them right off the shelf.
But listen, what if the 3 pitches are, you know, we got Kyle Gibson that's going to be ready soon. Suarez is going to be ready, in about 60 days? He's going to start rehabbing.
Yeah.
And also Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Cause, hope, man.
Yeah. Rashawn, stay away from the weed, man. I appreciate the call.
Who are you to tell that man what he can and can't do,
well,
Gigi?
Well, he's telling me
Mr. Negativity, and you're telling the guy what he can do in his spare time.
If he really believes that Kyle Gibson, Albert Suarez, and Trevor Rogers are the cure for what ails this baseball team?
Mescaline?
Yeah. Let's quickly grab Eric. Eric, you're on the fam.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there.
Hey, I agree 100% with you about when they're talking about the negativity. You're just telling it like it is. And I listen to this team. I've been an Orioles fan. I wore Brooks Robinson pajamas when I was a little boy. So that tells you.
We lost him. I want to know.
We got you back.
And I'm just telling you that I feel like, number one, Elias, it might all look good that we're bringing him, that we brought him in and everything. He's more of a computer guy than a baseball guy. Time for Brandon Hyde to go. Yeah. Time for us to, hey, if you need to put, what's the name of the bullpen? But shit, you can't put him in the bullpen.
Gotta let you go. I'm sorry. The rules are rules.
Yeah.
But appreciate the call.
Hey, Joe Flacco did it. I mean,
yes, he did. And he got
I went on radio in Washington one time and did it.
Mm. Hey, we switched to football. Coming up next, what the heck are the Steelers going to do for their quarterback? We'll ask Aditi Kinkabala, who has her ear to the grindstone as everything AFC North. Aditi joins us next here on The Fan. We are 3 days away from the start of the NFL draft, which is a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Aditi Kinkabala, who knows the AFC North as well as anyone. She's with CBS Sports and joins us now. And Aditi, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's start in Pittsburgh. Are you buying that Mason Rudolph is going to be their quarterback when the dust settles?
No, not really. But I don't really know. I suspect. I'm not even saying anything, right? Here we go. I don't. I just. It just gets so sort of. You ever like sort of watch the chance for a train wreck? And I'm not one of those people who slows down when there's an accident. I don't like seeing wrecks. I don't like seeing accidents. I don't like seeing huge disasters. And I just sort of feel like there are not a lot of great options here. And my intel is not suggesting that any of these options are really great. And I keep waiting. There's one suggestion that I would actually, or there's one option that I would be into, but I'm not getting any intel that they're into that.
Which is?
Aaron Rodgers?
No, take Jalen Milroe.
Oh.
Just take him at
he's
21.
He's a boom or bust pick. Yep. He's a, but you know what? He's boom or bust.
Yeah.
Right? And there's really like, sometimes you just got to roll the dice. You have completely mismanaged, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have completely mismanaged the quarterback position going back to the last 3, 4, 5 years even of Ben Roethlisberger's tenure. Okay? You're just in this bad position right now. So really, you got to take a quarterback every year until you hit on one. And this is a guy I had a long, long, long time offensive coordinator in the league tell me that he thinks that we've heard a lot of comparisons to Lamar Jackson in terms of athleticism, dynamic ability. He thinks that this guy moves as well as anybody has since Lamar Jackson, that there's not another comparison. And he's not, he wasn't saying he's the same as Lamar, but this is as close as you can get to that. He's obviously not a very polished thrower, but I've had several people compare him to Jalen Hurts, Hurts to me. And I think if you're a smart offensive staff, you don't ask him to do too much. You play well around him. And again, this is a guy that can buy so much time with his feet. Maybe doesn't need to be as accurate of a thrower of the ball because his receivers can get open. I don't know. Go take a chance on him. He's going to be in Green Bay. So
right.
I love how like all the draftniks are saying the kid's got a, the young man, sorry, has a third round grade. Well, then why would the league invite him to Green Bay? And why would he and his people agree to go to Green Bay?
Yeah, no, he's not going to have to wait.
But I'm not. But even like my saying that here, by the way, there is nobody that I have talked to close to the Steelers. I am not getting any indication that the Steelers like that idea.
Well, where do you think, like Aaron Rodgers? You know, he couldn't. You know, he couldn't sit on the sidelines too long without you know, spewing his truths, I guess, or his version.
Play for
of
$10 million, Jason.
To Pat McAfee.
Talk about your money. Do you call them M's? Do you call your wife and say, "Hey, we hit 6 M's this week"?
Yeah.
My new contract.
I don't have any M's.
Never had
Aditi, I don't have any M's.
I've had her M&Ms, and I try not to eat those too much anymore.
Peanut solid.
But like, do you think that ship has sailed? I mean, obviously, we've seen, you know, Coach Tomlin and you know Rooney talk about him, but like, where do you think that one sits?
You know, I've been very consistent in saying this. I'm on the radio every week here in Pittsburgh, and I had the opportunity to have several games with Aaron Rodgers last year. And, you know, those production meetings really are so valuable and really so special in some ways because you're in such a small setting. It's not the scrum. There's a level of trust that the players, the coaches are trying to help us do our best job of representing their team in the game broadcast. So we trust them to tell us the truth as they can. They trust us not to run away with things that we're not supposed to be saying. And I really enjoyed him in those meetings. But I'll tell you that for the last however long this has been going on, this dalliance with Pittsburgh, I've been saying in Pittsburgh, number one, I don't think that Aaron Rodgers has any appetite for OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
I do not at all get the sense that he has the same patience for younger teammates or less mature teammates who have not yet figured out everything it takes to be a professional. When he first got to New Jersey, before he hurt himself, he was all in on kind of helping that team grow. And we heard Saleh say over and over just how he was infusing a different professionalism in the building, the patience that he had for guys. And then you go back to the end of last season, and I can't tell you everything that was said, but we had a conversation about Garrett Wilson. And Garrett Wilson, to me, is a really, really, really good young pro. Mm-hmm. The wide receiver position is an interesting position in and of itself. He certainly can grow. Garrett and I have had very interesting conversations about trying to produce and be useful in ways even when the ball isn't being delivered to you. And that goes back to the year before when Rodgers was hurt. I was sort of stunned. Yeah, I'll just say it. I was sort of stunned that Rodgers was not necessarily as thrilled with Wilson or had things mm-hmm. to kind of nitpick about Wilson. And that to me is, you know, the older we get, the less patience we have. And that's everybody. Cam Hayward, in fact, of the Steelers kind of a month ago was asked by Rodgers. He's like, you either want to be with us or you don't. You know, like that's just the nature of the game here. And so I actually went on the radio last week before the day before Rodgers was on McAfee. And I said that from every conversation that I myself have had with Aaron Rodgers, my own read of where he is mentally and what he wants to put into this, and the conversations I've had with multiple executives who have been a part of his courtship, my feeling is that he does not want to join a team that he doesn't think is on the cusp of a Super Bowl. The Vikings were such a appealing idea because you have such great professionals in Justin Jefferson. You have the least diva-like superstar. You've got a great defense. You've got all the pieces. You don't have to do an outsized part of the team building and the leading and all of that. And I just don't think that Aaron Rodgers is there. Then we so the whole Steelers thing to me was very interesting because I don't think the Steelers need a massive influx of leadership on offense. It's something that's plagued them for years. We heard Najee Harris talk about it recently. We heard former player Willie Colon talk about it recently. If you want Aaron Rodgers, then you want all of Aaron Rodgers. You should be saying to him, we need you in here. We need you for OTAs. We need you to teach George Pickens how to be a grown-up. And where Mike Tomlin won't hold George Pickens accountable, you go hold him accountable. But when you guys were listening to Aaron Rodgers, does that sound like a man in a hurry to make a decision? Does that sound like a man who wants to go hang out at OTAs and tell George Pickens it's important to show up on time?
No, it sounded like a man who wanted to put ayahuasca and all this other stuff in his body for a while. And not have to worry about anybody
was watching
in any facility.
I mean, seriously, but let's think about this. You've made nearly or more than or whatever, roughly $400 million in your life. You have four MVPs. You've won a Super Bowl. You're 41 years old. You're sitting outside in Malibu. You have a brand new relationship that apparently is going well, and you're watching Dolphins. You want to trade all of that to deal with George Pickens?
I don't know that I would. No.
No.
I mean, I don't know. So anyway, maybe that's a possibility. Maybe not. There's a lot of smoke about Shedeur Sanders, mostly because Mike Tomlin loves nothing more than NFL bloodlines. Siblings of NFL players,
yes.
Sons of NFL players. I mean, we could run through name after name after name where he's drafting somebody's child or somebody's brother. I don't get the sense that people outside Mike Tomlin feel as strongly about Sanders as a fit, but there's also a lot of chatter. And Jason, I'm sure the people that you're talking to too, that Sanders could indeed be available at 21 when the Steelers are choosing.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of people I talked to this weekend of the mind that Kellen Moore is politicking for Jackson Dart in New Orleans. So if that were to be the case, these same people are also of the mind that if Shedeur Sanders is there at 21, that Mike Tomlin is saying, I think we need to do this.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's a 100% organizational decision. At least that's not what my reporting is. But hey, when has that ever? Like, we all know that Mike Tomlin gets final say there. So I will tell you that I have talked to multiple, again, coaches, not scouts, but offensive coaches who are high on Jackson Dart, that think that Jackson Dart has a fair amount of upside and that he's somebody that could come in and play. And in fact, about a month ago, I had a conversation with a coach who said, look, if the Steelers are looking for someone to play this year, then Jackson Dart is the guy that they should choose.
Aditi Kinkleball, you're the best. Thank you so much for your time. As always, we appreciate it.
Only a few more days of these shenanigans. Yes. Then it all comes out in the wash. Thank God.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
All righty.
Coming up next, we get back to baseball. We hit the hot corner. We recap a very special outing from Charlie Morton yesterday. And we preview the Nats so that they start a three-game series with the Washington Nationals tomorrow. That's next here on The Fan. Orioles lost yesterday 24-2. This was ugly from the jump as Charlie Morton did get out of the first inning unscathed, but then one in the second, and the Reds scored seven in the third. Charlie Morton's line, two and a third, seven hits, seven earned runs, four walks, two strikeouts, and a home run. And his ERA has now gone up to 10.89.
It's totally untenable. It doesn't matter if he has a clean first inning. Danger is always around the corner because he doesn't have anything he can count on whatsoever to get batters out. The curveball we documented from the first start in Toronto was a shell of what it used to be. He seems scared to throw it. When he does, they seem to know it's coming and destroy it. He was trying to pitch off a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, which was his most effective pitch for the most part. Up until yesterday, we told you that was going to catch up to him. It has. I would have loved to have seen last year's version of Charlie Morton here. It would have been the perfect sort of one, you know, secondary guy to add alongside Corbin Burns, who we're only going to have for 1 year to stabilize things. They didn't go that route. Young pitchers got hurt. They didn't need more. You know, they finally got around to getting Eflin, but that was just a couple of starts before the playoffs. They didn't go far in the playoffs, and he had to go on the IL shortly after he got here. I don't know how you run Charlie Morton out there and pretend you're trying to compete, whether he agrees to go on the IL, whether he just needs to be shut down for a while. I think the reality is Charlie Morton is cooked as an effective major league pitcher, and I think he knows it, and they know it, but they're paying him a fair amount of money, and they're not paying many other people much money at all to do anything. So, you know, yeah, the fact that the league's slugging, I don't know, 800 off his curveball and is slugging 610 off his sinker and is, you know, slugging 546 off his cutter, I don't know. I mean, maybe we're stuck with it another time through.
Maybe put him in the bullpen?
I mean...
Be a bulk guy? Start an opener?
Well, he's an opener right now. That's what it is.
Yes.
The GM has a pretty clear record of what he's done identifying major league players in free agency and in trades, and it's mostly been horrible.
Yeah, give him Zach Eflin.
Major league level.
And give him Corbin Burns for a year, but you knew you weren't re-signing him, and the rest has been pretty bad. The Orioles are off today. They start a three-game series with the Nationals tomorrow. And in this day off, they have announced that Masson, finally, Oriole games will be available direct to consumer. This is immediately available for $19.99 a month or for $90 for the rest of the season. I guess that means Nationals games are immediately available direct to consumer as well. I will tell you, this $19.99 a month is the industry standard. Mm-hmm. I found only one team, the Pirates, are $17.99 a month. And then you got the big market teams. The Mets are $24.99 a month. The Yankees, $24.99. The Red Sox are $29.99 a month.
Yeah. I don't know that they'll ever reveal how many people sign up for this, at what price point, how many go once a month, how many buy it for the year. I'm just judging by the quality of you know, since they've said that they were competing to try to win something real, the quality of baseball declining, 10,000 people staying away from a playoff game, the substandard product. I don't know, man. I don't know that people are rushing out. That's basically like Netflix, right?
Yeah. But and just push back a little bit. Spending a couple $100 on a playoff ticket and spending $100 to watch 162 games of baseball is a little bit of a different animal if people love baseball.
Yeah.
So I don't think I think that people are starved for baseball and they've been begging for this. And I'm not saying
how many of those people who are getting it now in whatever way they're getting it are sitting are there switch. Saying that, oh, what the whatever I'm paying for mass and in my basic cable or my streaming service, I'm now going to get out of all that and just go a la carte mass in and change up how I'm viewing other stuff. I don't know.
There are people, like I have two friends who have texted me since this has been announced. One of them says they're going to do it immediately because they've been waiting for this. The other one's reaction was, I'm not paying $19.99 a month.
Yeah, they're very late to the market here.
Yes.
And the timing, I think, had they launched this going into like last season, I think there might have been more of a furor for it. Better late than never.
There's only three teams that haven't gone direct to consumer. That were the Orioles, Nationals, and Astros.
Yeah.
And the Astros are having they were one of
the Bally's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they make money and then I hope they use that money to keep actual baseball players
not
around.
Not bobbleheads?
Yeah. Not for bobbleheads, not throwing hats at people, not bastardizing your ballpark multiple times and creating needless expenses for that. Like, I don't know. Find one of your good everyday baseball players and find a way to secure their rights beyond their arbitration years. That would be nice.
Coming up next, just how bad was Charlie Morton yesterday? Our own Cordell Woodland was there. Plus, he covers the Ravens for us as well. What does he think the Ravens are going to do in the NFL draft, which starts Thursday? Cordell joins us next here on The Fan.